Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in our Living for Eternity series, and you know, the thing that really stood out to me the most about the series were living for eternity. The thing that just keeps over and over, it pops up in so many different verses, is at the end of this thing, I want to get a well-done, good faith service. And I think that that's the case for so many of you. We were having a leader meeting this morning. Our small group leaders get together every week for service, talk. That was the big theme that was coming out, was just the desire to get a well-done, good faith servant at the end of this. The thing that I'm so grateful about the Lord, and we've talked about this before, but I just think it's so cool that He's this way, that He's like this. There's things that He tells us we need to do. He says, listen, this is the right way to live. Do these things. It's really not optional. This is what you're supposed to do. This is right. Good. Well, that's helpful because it's out of trouble and living. I'm grateful. But then at the same time, He says, oh, yeah, by the way, if you do those things you're supposed to do, I'll give you reward. I'm like, that's crazy. You're just so kind. Shouldn't it just be if we do the things we're supposed to do, we break even, we're at neutral? It's like, no, it's so much better than that. If you'll do the things you're supposed to do, I'll actually give you rewards. And what's crazy, the rewards are eternal. They will last forever. So by doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not only able to operate in this life the way that makes sense and have my pleasure resting on you and I get to experience life to the fullest, but I will then reward you the same stuff that I already told you about. It's just mind-blowing to me. That is just so kind. That is God of great kindness. And I'm just so thankful for that. And so He rewards us. Today's message in our series, Living for Eternity, titled, Our Glory Is Not All. It's going to be an interesting thought for those who have not ever looked at these verses. But in general, just as our kind of our starting point, we're just mentioning the concept of eternal reward. Your greatest eternal reward is your new you. Your greatest eternal reward is actually your resurrected body. You get a resurrected body when you graduate, and well, actually, He comes back. And at that time, you get transformed. We've been talking about that in the last couple of sessions. That's been a big theme. But it's probably your greatest eternal reward, and it's probably also the most complex eternal. This has got layers. And we're going to look at some things today that I'm hopeful you'll look at these verses and get a vision for yourself. Start to see yourself in this narrative, in this storyline, maybe in a fresh way. Now, just as a kind of a starting point here, I just want to remind us of Matthew 5:19, the verse we've looked at a couple of times series over the course of time. This is Jesus talking about, again, one of those main and plain. Hey, this is what you're supposed to do, but also if you do it, you get a reward. Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others according will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So I just want to say here, Jesus talking about the next age and ages to come, and He makes a very clear distinction. There are going to be people that are going to live forever with Jesus that are going to be identified as least in the kingdom of God. That is a horrifying thought. I do not want that teaching. And then there's going to be those that are identified as great in the kingdom of God, and has everything to do with decisions that we make here. Our resurrected body is no different. In fact, our resurrected body, there is so much about this. I'm just excited to read the verses and unpack some of it. Our resurrected body will not all be the same. They will vary greatly. So you got one person's resurrected body and another person right next to them. Those resurrected bodies, while they're resurrected, there's glory resting on them, they're not the same. And they will be a reflection of the way that that individual lived their life. This is mind-boggling. Well, before we get to that, laying the groundwork, Romans 8:18 tells us that God's glory is going to be revealed in us. Look at that. Romans 8, 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will be revealed in us. When we receive the resurrection, the glory of God, for the first time ever, will be revealed in us. The glory of God revealed in us. Meaning, we'll look at a resurrected body, we'll look at a resurrected person, a resurrected friend, a resurrected enemy. We will look at them, and in their glorified body, we'll see God. His glory will be revealed. And we'll look at it, and we'll marvel at God because of the glory of God that is being revealed in our resurrected body. That is such a sight. That God will get more and more glory the more that we look at each other in the next age, because his glory will be revealed in us, through us. It is going to be such a profound thing. This is God's purpose. God's intention is that he would be revealed, the glory of God would be revealed through you in the coming age. That's his purpose. So everybody that loves Jesus is going to have the glory of God revealed. That is really cool. This is your... So least or greatest, everybody's going to have God's glory revealed. That's really cool. Well, we've been called eternal glory. The glory of God resting on our frame. And what that means with its brilliance and brightness and all the details of what it means to have a resurrected body that's going to be incredible, that's going to reveal God. We've been called to this. Look at 1 Peter 5. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you've suffered a little while, we'll restore you. I just want you to think about this. We need to have maybe a little bit different perspective on dying. We need to have a little bit different perspective on what happened when we checked out, because the way that Peter talks about this is the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory, and we don't get that eternal glory until we get a resurrected body, which requires the second coming, requires this age, the transition of this age. This is really who you are. This is your identity. You've been called to eternal glory. Now, I want us to make sense of that phrase, because that doesn't mean saved. You have to be saved in order for you to be called to that eternal glory, but we're not talking about not going to hell anymore. We're now talking about as a person who's not going to hell, who is going to heaven, you've been called to inherit eternal glory of God on your physical frame. You've been called to that. Wow, that is such a different future than I die and go to heaven and I'm not really sure what happens next. Called to eternal glory. These are not spiritual words that mean nothing. These are words that define your future reality when you get a resurrected body and God's eternal glory is resting on your face. You've been called to them. That's so cool. I mean, what a point of preoccupation. Instead of getting mad about whatever terrible thing happens next to you, to get preoccupied with, I have been called to eternal glory. Wow. Obtaining eternal glory, Paul writes about Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul says this. He says, listen, let me tell you why I'm doing all this stuff. I'm trying to help you, Joe, attain eternal glory. Like, I'm doing all this. I'm putting up with all this heartache and all this hassle and all your arguments. I'm doing this for your sake. He says this. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That they may obtain salvation so that when they graduate, they will be clothed with eternal glory. He says, I'm actually in this for your glorified body. He says, I'm actually doing this. I put up with all this. I go through all this hassle, all the sufferings, difficulties. I do it for you so that in the resurrection, you might obtain eternal glory on your physical frame forever, because it's going to be so incredible and so much better than this life and the suffering, sickness, and difficulties and disappointment and letdowns. He says, I do this so that you can have a resurrected body. I want you to... That is such a cool idea. What? I mean, this guy has got his head in the clouds. This is a guy who can rightly say, think on things above and not on earthly things because he knows how to do it. He is talking about eternal glory resting on a resurrected body. He's got some vision for this. This is a guy who knows his doctrine. This is a dude who understands. And he talks about it so plainly. Here to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you know, I talked about all this stuff when I was with you, but you know the reason I'm laboring the way that I do is actually so that people that were ministering, that they would get that resurrected body and it would be awesome. I'm contending for their great. Whoa, that's so big. That's so different. Matthew, Jesus tells us this in Matthew. He says, hey, you want to know a little bit about your resurrected body? It says this in Matthew 13, 43. Then, in the resurrection, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He says this, he who has ears, let him hear. You better pay attention to this. He says, I am after your eternal sunshine too. He says, I want for your resurrection to be awesome. He says, the righteous will shine like the sun. We make Jesus' words so religious and mean nothing. We read Jesus' words like he's just talking religious again. He's just saying weird Christian words. We need to understand he's actually talking about exactly what it sounds like he's talking about. A human with the glory of God resting on them, shining like a sun. With brightness and light coming out of it, that is exactly what he means. It's not religious talk. He means human sunshine. He says, I can't wait. He says, you better pay attention. He says, if you have ears, listen to what I'm saying, because if you'll pay attention, you'll wind up with a much brighter light bulb than the guy next to you. He says, I am trying to get you to pay attention to this reality. Your forever will look very different than it does now and actually is contingent on your now. What do you do? How do you carry yourself? Well, we've talked a lot about this related to eternal rewards, but I just want us to understand it relates to the resurrected body. It relates to the brightness on our frame. It relates to the way that our resurrected body will function is the subject that our glory will be measured by the decisions we make in this life. Quick review, 2 Corinthians 5:2 and Romans 14. We must all appear before judgment that each one may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Receiving reward based off of the way that we live our life in this age. Romans 14, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Each one of us give account of himself to God. We want that account to be awesome. We want to pay attention to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, where he says, listen, listen, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. Pay attention, he who has ears, let him hear what I'm saying. Pay attention in this life. Live like it's true. Because you're going to stand before me and you're going to give an account. Really intense. But look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Tells us we can achieve greater eternal glory through problems. Look at this. This is the greatest ever. Our light and momentary troubles. Now just remember Paul. Paul has gone through it. Dog paddling in the water, arrested, flogged, misunderstood, kicked out of this, taken there, stoned. I mean, this guy's gone through it. He calls them light. Momentary affliction. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory. Pay attention. Paul says, when I go through problems in this life, my light bulb gets brighter in the age to come if I respond. He says, the weight of these things, it's not even worth mentioning by comparison to what these things are producing in me forever. Producing in me. It's not Christian need. It's not religious words. Eternal glory. He's talking about the brightness and the profound impact of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God resting on his eternal frame in the age to come. This is a man who understood where he was going. He says, so yes, you do go through the problem. He says, don't waste the trial. Don't waste the trial. Don't just get through it, embrace it, go there with God so that you might receive a better resurrection, that you would have greater eternal glory. Let's just do it again. Our light and momentary troubles are a... Our problems are doing something for us, and it is of an eternal nature, and it's related to the glory of God being revealed through us. Your light and momentary affliction are producing in you, are achieving for you an increased measure of eternal glory. Well, I can put up with hassle now. I mean, if it's not wasted, if it's not just a problem, if it's not just something bad, it's not just somebody mad, it's not just some thing that I lack or that I lost, or that, if it's just not just a problem, but if God sees it and goes, I'm watching your, I see how you're handling that trouble. If you handle it rightly, it will achieve for you eternal glory. Oh my gosh! Guys, do you understand what this means? This means bad days are better than good days. This means bad thing, problem, actually can produce something of eternal glory, of eternal weight. I don't want to waste a trial. I want to stare right at that thing and go, you're going to make my light bulb brighter. You're going to help me, Mr. Problem. I'm going to lean into this thing. I'm going to get something out of this. I'm not going to just have problems after this. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to say, this light and momentary trouble is going to achieve something for me because I'm not going to just go through this. I'm going to endure this Christ. I'm going to have a right attitude. I'm going to respond rightly because I want the eternal glory that's promised for those that are trained by it, by the problem, those that lean in. Now, listen, I can tell you this. You can absolutely waste trouble. This is not default. It's not because you had a bad day, all of a sudden you get a resurrected body with brightness on it. That's not how that works. You have to lean into it. The Lord is all about partnership. But what a promise. Did you know that this is possible? Did you know that whatever problem you face, this, if you do it right, you could wind up with a better resurrected body? Oh my God. Lord, your pay scale is obnoxious. I can't believe it. Like, this is worth a dollar on planet Earth, and you just give me $1 billion. This is disproportionate. Light and momentary problems equating to eternal increase and glory of an increased measure on my physical body forever. That is unbelievable. Lord, thank you for making this up. Thank you for creating this concept. This is awesome. We get to live like this or hear words like this and we not have ears. And it's just words that were heard, but there's no application. But Paul said, think on things above and not on earthly things. He said, I want you to understand how heaven works. You're going to live there much longer than you live. I want you to understand how the kingdom of heaven operates. And if you understand it, it can actually make great impact on your life now, and you will be forever thankful for the decisions you made. Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to skip over that one going here. Gaining through sacrificial living to this phrase related to a resurrected body. Hebrews 11:35. Then we're going to get into what does it look like, resurrected body. How does it look like? Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. I just want you to understand the primary reference there is the resurrected. And this is the author of Hebrews helping us to understand there are decisions that you can make in this age that will actually impact your eternal glorified body. A better resurrection. What a faith. What a crazy concept. There's resurrection, better resurrection, and much, much better resurrection. What? I thought we just died and went to heaven. It's way more dynamic. He's into rewarding, and he rewards the same stuff he already told us he had to do anyway. It's just so backward. He's so kind. He is a father who loves to give. He loves to be generous. He You know, the Word of God talks so much about being generous. He can ask it of us because, like, he says, be generous. I'm generous. That's how I am. You don't even know the half of my generosity. You stand before me, you realize that you did this, and I gave you this for this. It's all just going to be, we're going to be laughing. I just imagine the first 1,000 years of the millennium, we're just going to be laughing just at how generous God is. We're going to not be much use for anything because we're going to be laughing at how ridiculously generous God has been. It's going to be an unbelievable reality. Well, it says that this is Daniel 12:3. So this, the prophet Daniel is getting a revelation straight from an angel, and it's talking about our resurrected bodies. We're going to unpack this because Paul had a lot to say about this subject. But here's a good intro point out of Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness in the heavens. But there is a condition, those who are wise. This is a specific promise to those that operated in wisdom, and we know wisdom is sought after, wisdom is fitted to, wisdom is gained, is gained. I just think there's probably no better way to define wisdom than submission to God's purpose. That would be a great way to describe wisdom, because it's not like a person. It's a person knows what God wants, saw that that was wise to do that, chose to do that, and then was even wise because they did God. He says, those who are wise, check this out, you will barely be able to look at them because their body will shine with the brightness of the heaven. Now, Paul took this and ranked. Paul got clarity on this subject. You want to camp out in 1 Corinthians 15. You want to see what Paul saw, because he says some stuff crazy. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to go there in your Bible, you can. I'm going to read about 6-7 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 42. I'm going to read this, and then we'll look at some little excerpts. So actually, that's only part of it. I'm going to read the whole thing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Some may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. Just seed, perhaps, or something. But God gives it a body, is determined. To each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Remember, Paul is answering the question, what about the resurrected body? What about, how are the dead raised? What is it like? He says, I'm going to tell you a lot about this by giving you some application things to understand. You understand seed, you understand flesh, you understand these things. He says, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another kind. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with us. Ooh, there's a lot of variety there. He says, you just asked me, what will the resurrection of the dead be like? Said, it will be as various as these categories. There is not one version of a resurrected person. There is every manner of variance. He says, he gives this long explanation. I'm so glad he started and ended the same way. He says, you're asking me about the resurrection of the dead. You're asking, how what will that be like? And Paul goes, you're asking me like it's a simple answer. How foolish to ask me the question, what will the resurrection of the dead be like, as though I can answer that in one phrase. It'll be like this. He says, it's so various, guys. It's like the seeds creating different plants. The plants vary from one another. There's different kinds of flesh. He goes, a fish and a person have got different kinds of flesh. He goes, the astral body and the earthly bodies. He goes, these things, they're different. The stars are different. He said, this is how various and vast and wide is the subject of what will the resurrection of the dead be. He said, it's such a big subject, I can't even get it all out of my head. He says, you will vary greatly from one to another. And again, I just go back to that verse in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said that there will be those in the kingdom. He's talking about resurrected people in the kingdom of heaven. He says there will be those that their body will reflect the glory of God in the least way imaginable. Still good. I mean, I've never had the glory of God on me before, not one day in my life. I can't wait to get even the least version. He said there will be those in the kingdom of heaven who they're of the least sort of the resurrected. And then they'll be those the greatest sort has ever to do with the way. Jesus taught on this subject a ton in order to motivate us to live up really. I don't want to stand before him and have such embarrassment. Not because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of him, but because I don't want to have been to have spent my life on things that didn't matter. To have given myself to things that didn't matter. To have wasted this one chance for a better day. Today to your day. That's it. The choices you make, the decisions you make, there are things that the Word of God says, these things are off limits. Don't do them. For the love of all good things, stop doing them. Then there's things that the Word of God says, do these things. These things are good for you, for all good things. Start today, people. Start today. Let's follow the Word of God. It's not chained, not bonded. It's Jesus in kindness going, I want you to have a better resurrection. You know you're going to live forever. Do you want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven forever? Your body will reflect. Oh my gosh. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 42, just a little excerpt here, talking specifically about the plant. Paul says, some may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life and let it die, unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but eat cups of wheat or something else. But God gives a body just determined, each kind of eat its own body. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. This is now Paul, and he's talking specifically about the plant. He wants you to understand you've got a seed, and when you plant it, it creates a red oak tree. But you've got another seed, and when you plant it, it creates like tumbleweed bush. Both of them were seeds. Just be the red oak seed for the love of all good things. Don't be the tumbleweed bush. But he's trying to paint the picture. There's a great variety in what a seed. Our body is a seed that's to be sown into the ground. What's in the DNA of that is decided by your choices. What kind of thing will you be when that seed is sown into eternity? You make the decision. Moving on, the diversity in different types of flesh. Paul says in 39, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? There's going to be different types of ways that even expresses. I can't even get my head around what he's talking about. Like, what does fish flesh look like in the age to come on a human? You know, what is he saying? There's a great variety in the way that our resurrected bodies will look and even function. He says, you know about flesh on earth, right? He goes, yeah. He says, is a bird flesh and a fish flesh the same? Go, oh, those are different. So, oh my God, those are very different. Ant flesh is very different than chupacabra. They're different fleshes. There's all different variants. See, we've been thinking when we get a resurrected body, all of us stand in a line and we all look exactly the same. That's not true at all. Not true. That is not what the Word of God says. Word of God says that you stand in a line and everybody looks different and their bodies are different. There's a reflection of their life and of their love and of their glory. And you just think about that. How right that Jesus would receive forever glory and honor and praise from each one, and that their body, even the way they interact with them, even the way that they look, reflects their love off. Awesome! That's awesome! It also really is a high motivator for us to live. We have a choice. You can just make it through life and show up saved. as one escaping. You can choose to do that, but he's so sad. Let's live our life. Damn. Let's do what he says. Go where he goes and be about what he's about, so that in addition to all the other goodies, get a resurrected body that reflects. What else? The diversity of the earthly form and the astral bodies. Look at this. Verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies. Remember, he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And he says, I'm trying to explain this. There's so much variety here. There are also heavenly bodies. So think of the heavenly body. But, you know, whatever's out there. Different kinds of stuff out in the heaven. He says, and the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, but the splendor of the earth bodies is of another. So the things that are on earth, it's different. Their splendor is different than the things in the heavens. It's about a really beautiful night sky where you see all the different stars. Like, whoa, that is captivating. There's something about that is awesome. Then think about that giant red oak tree we were talking about. So that red oak tree is awesome, but what's up there is even cooler. Like, that's even, this is great, but that's even bigger, brighter, more awesome. He's like, there is no end to the manner of comparison here. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. I am telling you, the greatest moment of awestruck we will ever experience is by looking at our different friends and those throughout history that have loved Jesus, and the glory of God revealed through them to us as we look at their resurrection. It will actually be the greatest measure of awe. You'll just go, whoa! The very appearance will communicate things to us. Our spirit will discern, oh my gosh, they were about this. You see that glory that's on them? Oh! He says, even this, Daniel 12:3, I just said it, those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. But Paul says this, in expanding upon that idea, he said, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and stars another. And then if you really want to get into it, star differs from star in splendor. Now, I'm just going off of what I read. So if it's wrong, I just read it. So I don't know. But they say that there are stars in the sky that are 1 billion times brighter than our Our sun is a dim sun. Dumb sun. Got a dumb sun. And there are suns that are 1 million times brighter. And Paul says the resurrection of the dead, you could have somebody that's bright like the sun and somebody that's bright like 1 million times brighter. Sun standing right. Oh my God. This is mind-blowing. This is in the Bible. You believe this? This is crazy. 1 million times brighter. Oh my gosh. I want to be 1 million times brighter. Says then, you guys here. Because you will stand before me. Life. That's the way the light bulb. It's about the way that we choose to live our life now. This is brilliant, God. This is brilliant. You motivate us into righteousness by dangling an eternal carrot in front of us. If you live this way, I will reward you forever. You will be so thankful that you live this way. But by living this way, we actually reflect Christ in this life. We live a better life. We're nicer to each other. We accomplish the purpose of God for our life. And then we get eternal glory as a reward. It's not. Well, one way or the other, it's just what. You ever had that conversation? You ever journaled about that? What will my eternal body? What will the measure of eternal glory that rests upon me be like? I want to tell you, this feels decision. This is choice. This is turning away from things that are not good. This is rejecting things that the Bible says, that's not good for you. That will lead far away from you. Then it's rejecting things that are permissible, just not the best idea and the best way to spend our time and our energy. And it's embracing things that says, oh, I long for you to experience fullness. I want you to enter into this. I want you to have this. These are things that I want you to embrace in this life. The word of God is an instruction, man. You don't do nothing stupid. But we got to actually do it. We got to read verses like 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, and all the rest of them here, 42, to talk about what our resurrection is going to be like. We got to look at it and go, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. I am not going to live my life like this isn't real. I'm going to live my life in reflection of this. I'm going to go, oh, God, give me revelation. What if this morning you were just given 1%, less than 1% of revelation that's available? You'll go spend time in the same Bible, praying, saying, believe me. You know, Holy Spirit put inside of us, instruct us, help us. So you hear a meeting like this, you're in a meeting, hear it. Hopefully this is just entry level service. Go eat. Go home and eat. Go get the same verses out and talk about it. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He will give you additional understanding. He will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him. These things are available so we can go deeper. So I'm happy to advertise. But please don't camp out here and go, there, I got it. Resurrection of the dead. Check mark. I'm good. Whatever. You heard an introduction. Go to them. And ask the Lord for living revelation. Help. Right? Actually, to walk. Help.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.